Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Talkers Magazine calls Jim Blasingame one of the best talk show hosts in the industry.
Now remember, I do my best work when I'm being worshipped as a god.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
We're back. It's 34 after the hour. Welcome back to our show. I know you weren't gone very long, and you probably didn't go anywhere. Thank you for that. If you just tuned in, welcome aboard. If you continue to listen to us, you know what we think about you. We think you're pretty smart. We consider that a sign of high intelligence. And you're going to get a lot smarter because Wayne Cruz is in the building, so to speak. Wayne is an old friend of ours, a longtime member of our Brain Trust. He's vice president for policy at the Competitive Enterprise Institute. One of the smartest guys you'll ever meet. Wayne, welcome back to the show.
Thanks a lot. And also an Allman Brothers fan like
you. Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, serious Southern rocker Wayne is. Wayne, I have a new term that I use for, you know, sometimes we talk about Republicans and we when we say Republicans, we that typically indicates a certain, you know, the word Republican is kind of a euphemism for a certain way of thinking. And then we say Democrats, and Democrats is kind of a euphemism for another way of thinking. And if they're handy terms,
right.
Democrat, Republican, it kind of helps us to, it helps the listener to understand what we're thinking about, what we're going to be talking about when we say those names. Let me just say one thing.
Uh-huh.
I believe now, though, those two names don't really serve very well.
Right.
I think those two names have become so... what should I say? Sort of an androgyny, isn't it? It's like a political androgyny, and so now I'm thinking that what I'm going to start doing, what I have actually been doing for a few weeks now, is instead of saying Democrat or Republican when I'm talking about Congress, I'm just going to say the 110th Congress, because frankly I don't see a lot of difference among the two parties today. What do you think?
There's always been thought to be that distinction. You know, when you say Democrat, you think of a social liberal. When you say Republican, you think
fiscal conservatives.
Economic liberties. So it's kind of in that social liberties versus economic liberties.
Mm-hmm.
But what's happened is both parties have expanded government. I mean, and you know, you say this about Republicans in the 110th Congress, but it was Republicans who gave us the Energy Department, the Consumer Product Safety Commission.
Yep.
The antitrust laws that have caused quite a bit of turmoil, especially now in a high-tech
economy. Well, and price controls back in the 70s. Nixon,
exactly.
I was in retail back in the early 70s when Nixon gave us price controls.
That's right. And even now, you know, we haven't done much on free speech and content regulation issues. At least I haven't on your show, but Democrats have favored a lot of the controls on speech, you know, things like chasing Howard Stern into space.
Mm-hmm.
Regulating video games and regulating cable TV and things like that. But bottom line, we now have we're approaching a $3 trillion government. We're approaching a $1 trillion regulatory state. We've talked about regulations quite a bit. What's needed and what's always been needed, and that's what governments are supposed to do, but we've always needed an economic liberalization program, which is a big part of what we're proposing now, but also new ways of looking at old regulatory problems like improving health and safety and improving environmental standards. And in that light, we have put out what we see as a proposal to this 110th Congress that Republicans are... Well, we'll see. I mean, Republicans have already signed on to some of the security legislation and other things that the Democrats are proposing.
Mm-hmm.
And there isn't a lot of fight in them to advance serious economic initiatives. I think the biggest one, we've got this new minimum wage legislation, but the biggest...
That's already passed the House.
It's already passed the House.
Yeah.
The biggest advance.
No fight, not even a fight, no hair, no scratches, no noise. I mean, it was like, Wayne, for 40 years, the Republicans were in the minority, the Democrats were in the majority, and the Republicans learned how to get along by going along. And in some ways, it's amazing that they got in as much as they did during that period of time. And I still say, and we're going to a break here in a second, I still say, Wayne, that for the last 14 years, part of the problem that we've had in Washington, and the reason there's so much rancor there now, is because the Democrats never could get used to the idea, never could stand the idea of being the minority, and the Republicans never got the backbone to be the majority. They never really learned how to be in the majority. It's really a very dysfunctional situation, and I don't know what to do about it, but we're going to talk about what's going to happen from a policy standpoint, especially for small businesses, with Wayne Cruz right after these messages. 20 till. Stay with us. See the dog and the further away the dreams of creatures become lost in the sun, spinning and turning, blind in the burning light. We're back. It's 17 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're having a great visit with our good friend Wayne Cruz, Vice President for Policy at the Competitive Enterprise Institute. Wayne, tell us about CEI, please.
Okay, look, we're a free market oriented public policy organization, think tank and advocacy group. We've been around now for 22 years. We're based in D.C. We work on regulatory issues across the board, everything from Sarbanes-Oxley reform, insurance reform, free speech and tech policy issues, to telecommunications reform, and general regulatory statements.
Mm-hmm. And basically pointing out when our government does things to hurt, especially small businesses. You guys have a very good pulse on the health of what it takes for the health of small businesses, especially from regulatory standpoint.
I don't know if you've had him on, but we just started a new entrepreneurship project at CEI. John Berlau heads it up. He's a former business journalist.
No, I don't know him.
He does terrific work. You got to get him on the show, dealing with the impediments to new businesses forming and how those can be rolled back.
Mm-hmm.
That covers a lot of issues, everything from stock option issues to Sarbanes-Oxley reform. And speaking of Sarbanes-Oxley, and we're talking about the 110th Congress as this blob, which is right. The interesting thing is the one who had been talking about Sarbanes-Oxley reform had been Nancy Pelosi.
Right.
We'll see what happens. Last year, she said that it was overly burdensome on some companies and on small companies and needed to be looked at. And nobody knows what that means and what that means in the context of the campaign. But she's on record as saying that. And just a minute ago, when you mentioned the minimum wage, it reminded me one of the problems with the growth of government and the growth of spending in a regulatory state is anything a government does. You know, they're a small amount of time. You know, there are no term limits, but politicians are transitory, administrations are transitory. They get away with putting things into law that have hidden consequences, and that's exactly what a minimum wage does. Everybody who has to hire people knows what the minimum wage does, but you can easily get an economist like Robert Reich
right.
to say the minimum wage doesn't cause unemployment.
Right.
Democrats say it doesn't cause unemployment. But, you know, there got to be ways to expose those kinds of things. Like the Republicans should have second-degreed this minimum wage legislation with an amendment saying that the minimum wage had to be $1 million.
Right.
And get the Democrats to say why it shouldn't pass.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
You know?
Yeah.
Because obviously nobody can pay it. It'd be unenforceable. Get the mm-hmm. Democrats to explain why they would oppose that kind of amendment.
No, I think at the end.
I just want to tell you one quick thing, and you ought to have him on the show, too. Don Boudreau at George Mason University, chairman of the Department of Economics.
Right.
He also said
Don, by the way, Don is a long-time yeah. member of our Brain Trust.
Well, he's always made the point that, you know, rather than having a minimum wage, make it a minimum employment bill.
That's right.
Have the
yeah.
Democrats say, you can't, you know, you got to hire this many people, X
right.
many people.
That's right. No, and, yeah, let's have a $25 minimum wage. Let's go ahead and let's make everybody. Why don't we just make everybody rich? Let's just do it, you know, and require everybody to, you know, to everybody has to have a job. Mm-hmm. And it's just, I mean, the facts, never mind the economic facts, the fundamental economic facts that show that minimum wage, raising minimum wage hurts the people that it actually purports to hurt, to help. But what about the current economic condition, Wayne? We've got a situation where we've got 4.4% unemployment. The greatest challenge small business owners have today is not having enough good people, not being able to find people to fill the slots that they have. That's not an economy where wages are being suppressed. That's an economy where wages are being elevated all by themselves as a result of the free markets economy.
That's right. The market system works, and Democrats know it works. You have to be a rich state in order to afford all these kinds of regulatory interventions.
Right.
And we are that. You have to be a healthy economy to do that sort of thing. But it's going to be an interesting time.
Well, so let me start for a second, Wayne. What about now? It's gone through the House. Minimum wage has gone through the House. Does it have a challenge in the Senate?
I don't know what the Senate situation is going to be with that. I wish I did. I feel like though, Jim, that because you know the arguments are going to be that it hasn't been raised in a long time, that Walmart favors the minimum wage, that, you know, that such and so on and so on. And I don't see, especially in the Senate, any major opposition.
Well, you know, they're going to try to add. They're going to try to stick some amendments to it, hopefully to get some tax advantages for small business. I'd like to see them. I'd like to see them stick the small business health plans to it. Mm-hmm. Is there a chance that Senator Mike Enzi might try something like that?
I think you'll see that. And I wish, you know, I used to be in the Senate. I used to work in the Senate with Phil Graham, and that's exactly the kind of thing he would do, you know, when this kind of thing starts rolling down. You're likely to see that. I think, you know, our biggest gains are going to come. I just don't see it getting blocked. And so I think, I'm hoping that some of our biggest gains can come in some other areas.
Right. Hold on that thought, Wayne. We're going to come back and talk about some of the other areas that the 110th Congress are doing that Wayne has been tracking. Right after these messages, it's 10 till. I'm Jim Blasingame. Stay with me. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's 7 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're having a good visit with our good friend Wayne Cruz, Vice President for Policy at Competitive Enterprise Institute, and that's CEI.org. I encourage you to check them out. Wayne, what are some of the other things that we can expect to see from an anti-free market economy standpoint out of the 110th Congress in the next 2 years?
Well, Jim, what I hope is that we can do some things that are going to be pro-free market. I do worry about the anti-market things quite a bit, like the minimum wage, like other kinds of labor.
Like protectionist regulation, like fighting trade agreements.
We've got to
resurrect Kyoto. That's all I'm hearing about, Wayne. I'm not hearing about any of those positive things.
The Democrats have been saying that we don't need to debate global warming anymore. We just need to go ahead and pass legislation to fight it. But now instead, they're going to hold a bunch of hearings because they recognize how crippling that sort of thing is. But look, we've got new proposals for net neutrality on the internet that can be very bad if that sort of thing is not approached properly.
I'm against net neutrality.
Right, we've had those kinds of discussions before.
Now, folks, that sounds part. Wait, Wayne. When you hear me say I'm against net neutrality, it makes you think that why wouldn't anybody want the internet to be neutral? It's not that simple, folks. It's a complicated issue. Go ahead, Wayne.
That's right. Very complicated. Well, we've got a couple chances to do a couple things. We've still got things to do in telecommunications reform that could be good. We've got to improve access to affordable energy. We've still got to push, you know, what we can do off our own shores and within our own borders and in ANWR and things like that. We've got to keep our eye on what happens with labor regulation. We've got to keep antitrust regulation rolled back and not let that advance too much into new areas. Watch out for privacy regulation. There's an effort to...
But when you're talking about dangerous things here, I don't hear you saying anything that's positive.
those are things we want to do. I think we've got to do... The regulatory state now, you know, I remember being on your show when we were talking about how regulations cost, you know, $600 billion a year.
Right.
Now they're over a trillion.
That's right. Well, and you know what else? When you were on our show the first time, Wayne, small business owners spent $6,000 per employee on to comply with regulations and laws. Now they spend over $7,000 according to the SBA.
Yeah, it's incredible. And, you know, we work with the advocacy office there quite a bit.
Mm-hmm.
And with NFIB and other groups. But these are some areas. You know, a while back, we used to be on quite a bit talking about electricity regulation.
Right.
And things like that. Now there are new efforts to regulate transportation, airlines and so forth, whether mm-hmm. you're talking about a carbon ticket tax or other kinds of regulations. But there's a lot of areas where the economy needs to be liberalized more. And these huge sectors like telecommunications and transportation.
What's an example of something that should be liberalized?
Well, in telecommunications, there's always this threat that new services, new high-speed broadband services, become regulated,
mm-hmm.
Become subject to open access regulations, or get rolled up into new standards by which universal service standards and things of that sort. It's a real risk right now. Part of the reason you want to deregulate widely is because it is expensive to bring fiber to the home.
Right.
And companies may not be able to afford to do it. But if the electric companies could team up with the cable companies and the phone companies and so forth, then it becomes less expensive. The problem is we regulate all these great network industries in these silos.
But do we really have a broadband chat problem in this country? I mean, isn't broadband growing pretty fast right now?
Well, you want it to. The big threat is this net neutrality push,
right?
That's going to come from Democrats and Republicans. You know, there's
no. It's Wayne. It's the 110th Congress.
That's right. The 110th.
There isn't any difference between the Republicans and the Democrats. It's just the 110th Congress.
So that's the real threat to it. And what makes it worse is, you know, in my way of thinking, there isn't any broadband today. You know, the pipes we have coming into our home that, you know, that lets you download a movie mm-hmm. in, you know, 20 minutes or so,
right.
or a song in 30 seconds or a minute, that's still not enough bandwidth by any stretch.
That's right.
Given what
so Wayne, I got 20 seconds. Where are the solutions going to come from? That's what I thought.
Typically it's threat.
That's what I thought. There, you don't have an answer, Wayne. I mean, I think we're screwed for the next 2 years.
Well, remember, under Carter, when CAB...
You got it. No, you can't. Now, you can't bring Carter. We don't have time for Carter. That's a whole show by itself, Wayne.
You've got to get the regulators themselves, though, to realize their agency is doing more harm than good.
That's the challenge. Thanks, Wayne. I got to go. Got to go for this hour. I'm Jim Blassingame.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.